the logo of Touchstone Pictures. Touchstone Pictures presents a Brian Grazer, Scott Rudin production. A Ron Howard film. An aerial view in black and white. A police van speeds along a city street. In the distance, the trees of Central Park. Mel Gibson. Renny Russo. Gary Sinise in Ransom. Now, in full colour, party guests meet on a penthouse balcony overlooking the park. The guests are called into the apartment.
Okay, everyone, I found his commercial. Come on in.
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, he can't weasel out of this one. We're going to show it.
It's showtime, folks. Let's go.
They watch a promotional video.
I came from fairly humble beginnings from upstate New York. And to be honest, I'd never even been on an airplane before. Not until the Air Force taught me to fly in 1969.
I ended up doing 28 combat missions for them.
In 1971, what a tough year. I threw everything I owned into a charter service.
Well, you look better than those
when we kicked off, we had a 6-seater and one DC-3, and we would fly anywhere.
We're like the yellow caps in the sky.
In 1979, we started Endeavor. We only flew to four different cities, but
I think the passengers picked up on my joy in flying.
We've grown 37 countries worldwide. We're still pretty small in the scheme of things, but then I never wanted to be the biggest. Just the best.
The most important thing to me these days, family. Mine, yours.
That's a good thing about an airline. It actually brings families closer together, among other things.
And that makes me feel good.
1971. Man, I had the devil in me back then. But today, people change. Sort of.
The guests look round for Tom Mullen, the party's host.
Afraid to ask, actually. No, you're too kind. Actually, contemplating suicide before it airs.
Oh, yes, of course, because he's so shy. Next month he's doing the underwear billboard in Times Square. Ow!
Tom kisses Kate, his attractive blonde wife. A waitress carries a tray across the brightly lit room. A dim staircase leading down to an ill-lit basement. A bleak room, a metal bed. Handcuffs. A drill bit bores a hole. A hand switches on an electric fire.
You should have seen the look on his face. He couldn't figure out where I got that information.
Back at the party, Tom Mullen speaks to Sean, his young son.
I couldn't believe it. Hey, Sean, you eat something? You okay?
Yes.
He's a wacko. I mean, seriously, he's like, woo. Unbelievable.
From the open-plan kitchen, a dark-haired young waitress glances across at the boy.
David's on the carpet.
In the gloomy basement, a young man with a shaven head heaves a mattress onto the metal bedstead. He tacks up foam soundproofing and hammers plywood. He fixes a distorting attachment to a mobile phone. The penthouse.
All right, time to fold it in, fella. Come on.
Yeah. Where did you get the tile in the kitchen? It's great.
Oh, good. Weezer, that's a Kate question. See, I only answer Tom questions like, what's wrong with my chainsaw? What's the best time of day to kill a grizzly bear? I think you do.
I have a perfect Tom question. How do you feel about Jackie Brown filing a civil suit against you from his prison cell?
Sean, why don't you brush, get ready. I'll be down in a minute. David, would you get Bob, please? And you are?
I'm just giving you a heads up, because this Brown guy now says that he has proof that you paid him to head off the machinist train.
Well, that's not novel. I mean, he's been saying that for months.
I know. But now he says he has proof that you even initiated the bribe. I'm Sammy Adler from the Daily News. I just thought if we could spend a couple seconds...
Bob Stone? Sammy Adler from the Daily News.
Adler?
Why don't you make sure he gets
on
safe?
Can we do something for 2 seconds?
Let's go. No, I hope you had a good time here. Drive safe.
Adams is ushered out.
I'm a reporter, all right?
We know
I'm
who
not
you
a stalker,
are.
Guys. Listen, your boss is going to have to deal with this. Jackie Brown says he was set up.
Hey, he's going to find someone else to talk to. He's in the clear. You understand?
Listen, follow Tom.
In the basement, the man sets up recording equipment.
I came from Humboldt.
Cut.
John?
Okay. Tom's bedroom.
John? People picked on my... I guess he's not here. No. Lie down and take a nap while I wait for him to turn up. God, this mattress is lumpy. It's damn noisy, too, and it's got hair. This mattress needs to be... No laughing, no laughing, no laughing. And why are you watching my goof-ups again?
A video is playing.
Bug in it, sorry.
It's funny.
Yeah, well, it must make you feel good inside to know your old man can't even talk.
Grobe, shrinking grobe.
Is that guy mad at you upstairs?
No, he's not mad. He's curious. Yeah, well, that's his job, you know. He's got to...
Seems like someone's always mad at you.
The way that seems?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that... You're not mad at me, are you?
No.
Well, I can fix that.
The knuckle sandwich before bedtime!
On the street, a violent arrest.
Hey,
Shut up! Hey,
Joey!
Take it easy. Get him out of here.
A plainclothes officer restrains his colleagues.
Uh-huh. Little faggot!
Faggot, the fuck!
Hey, take it easy. All right?
The penthouse.
Honey, you better work the door. I think the mayor wants to leave.
Oh, thank God. You okay?
Yeah. Okay, did you brush your teeth?
Hair brushing this morning?
No. We're gonna brush them now.
In the street, two men emerge warily from a building and climb into a battered white van. The van approaches the plainclothes policeman. Eyes narrowed, he turns and watches as it drives past him and away down the street. The penthouse.
Oh, God, I'm beat. So where was that guy from? Daily News?
Does it make a difference?
Oh, you have to kill those bastards. When they come after you, they come after us.
She fixes plastic across a window.
It's freezing.
The room is half decorated.
I'd like to come after the contractor.
Well, you gotta find him first.
Really?
It's freezing in here. Oh.
He rubs her shoulders.
That feels good.
Don't let those guys get to you, okay?
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Tom puts his arms around her. Puppets perform in Central Park. The mayor introduces Kate to the crowd.
Okay, now I'd like to introduce to you the person responsible for this wonderful event. Fantastic lady, in fact, chair lady of the Junior Science Fair, Mrs. Catherine Mullen.
She steps up to the microphone.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Welcome to the 10th Annual New York City Junior Science Fair. We have 54 young inventors competing today.
Dad?
Yeah?
Why can't I enter?
Well, it wouldn't be fair, Sean. There's a judge here, and how would that look if you won?
Why don't I enter under a different name?
You mean like John Smith?
No, like Professor X.
Well, I don't think you get away with that, Professor X. I mean, you're too young to have a degree. You gotta be bald, have an eye patch, you know.
No, better. Professor Von X. Huh?
And the third judge, I regret to say, is myself, Catherine Mullen, events chair for the 125th anniversary of Central Park and former teacher of biology at Evander Childs High School. So let the games begin.
Sean's invention, an airborne remote control video camera, rises into the air beneath two large orange balloons. Tom checks the remote.
Yeah, the wind is taking it. Down left rudder.
Remember, we're going to want all of today's winners on stage at 1 o'clock to receive their award. Good luck, everyone.
It's not fair, Dad. I worked really hard.
I know. You worked really hard, and you did an amazing job. But we talked about this before, didn't we, Sean?
Yes.
Okay? Come on, lighten up a little. Enjoy the day.
Okay.
Anyone else that is not registered must have their registration cards in right now. This is your last chance.
The judges approach a competition entry.
PS-41.
Okay, PS-41.
Yeah. Solar system here. And this big guy here is what?
Sun.
Okay.
Kate notices Sean is alone.
Nine.
Yes. I see Mars.
Okay.
A man in a woolen hat watches Sean adjust his remote control. A second man follows the boy as he tracks his invention. Tom is talking to the mayor. Miles, the shaven-headed man, watches nervously from the white van. Cubby, the man in the woolen hat, closes in on Sean as he passes behind a stone pillar. Man and boy disappear. The orange balloons jerk wildly.
She's incredible. I mean, the work she's put into this.
Huh? I don't know where she gets the energy.
Kate waves to Tom, then looks around for Sean.
That's Venus.
Failing to see him, she frowns anxiously at her husband. Tom looks back to where he left the boy, but Sean is no longer there. Overhead, he notices the orange balloons. Kate looks around anxiously for her son.
John?
Tom scans the crowd in front of the judge's platform, but the boy is nowhere to be seen.
John!
He walks towards a flight of stone steps. Keeping his eye on the orange balloons, he searches among the excited children.
Teachers, please keep on.
A judge calls out.
Kate? Kate? You score.
Distractedly, Kate scans the crowd. Tom is running now. Kate starts to search.
Sean?
Desperately, she runs to the judge's platform. Tom reaches the stone steps.
Sean?
He runs up the steps in pursuit of the orange balloons as the wind carries them out of the park. One balloon bursts against the corner of a building. As the second balloon floats free, the video camera falls.
Have you seen Sean?
No. Kate, are you all right?
Kate crosses the platform and seizes the microphone.
Sean? Sean? Sean Mullen? Please come to the judges' chair.
Outside the park. A white van breaks suddenly. The shaven-headed driver watches Tom run across the road in front of it towards Sean's ruined invention. The van drives off. Tom walks slowly towards the video camera and picks it up.
John?
At home, Tom and Kate watch the film recorded by Sean's camera.
Probably just busting chops because we wouldn't let him into the contest.
Who didn't we call?
Sean?
You have email.
Tom opens his laptop. Sean appears on the screen. Blindfolded and handcuffed.
I have your son.
Oh, Jesus!
I want $2 million
oh,
in 50s and hundreds. No consecutive serial numbers. No new bills. No mark bills. The money will fit into two Samsonite hard shell suitcases, model number 260. Do not involve the police or the FBI. If you do, I will kill him. Do not inform the media, or I will kill him. No tracking devices in the money or the cases, or I will kill him. We have 48 hours to get the money. I will contact you.
In the basement, Sean is forced to drink.
Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Would you open your mouth now? Open it. Swallow it.
He spits.
You little prick.
Wiping the juice from her shirt, the girl walks into the kitchen.
What are you doing?
Why don't you just clean your shirt?
Look, we talked about this.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
She is the waitress from the party. She takes a bottle from Miles and empties it down the sink. Outside the room, he swigs from a hip flask.
Bitch.
The penthouse.
Kate! Who are you calling?
He said no police. He said he'd kill him if you call the police. I can have the money inside 3 hours.
Why did you leave him? Why did you leave him?
I didn't.
I saw you. You walked away.
All right.
Tom clutches the phone.
All right, I'm calling the police.
Call the FBI.
For Christ's sake, just let me pay this
bastard. Tom, please, call the FBI.
Kate, the FBI just spent 3 months trying to bury us. Do you think they give a good goddamn about you or me or...
Tom, they know us.
All right.
Outside.
Lennon Paint.
Wait.
What?
Yeah, we're going to the Mullen apartment. Let's just finish some work on the library.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I get this call. Go ahead. Okay.
Inside the apartment.
Mrs. Mullins are waiting for you.
Thank you. Mr. Mullen, how are you?
Bonnie.
Hawkins. We got Kimber Welsh.
How are
Jack
you?
Sickler.
How you
David Levin. Ron Lambert.
How you do?
Find the phone panel.
Vladimir, could you show these gentlemen everything they want to know?
Si, senor.
Paul.
Who's sweeping?
And this is Paul Rhodes.
How you do?
How you doing?
This here is the closest we could get to a lookalike.
I see.
Now, look, Mr. Mullen, I'm not allowed to advise you on this, but if you decide to pay the money...
It's here. It's right over here.
This the money?
Yeah, $2 million.
Well, Paul here can make the drop for you.
Sure, sure.
Tom?
Yeah, David.
Bob's got some stuff for you right here.
No, this is all I can get from the National Center for Missing Children.
Good, good. Agent Hawkins, this is David Torres. Pleased to meet you.
What about the electric file?
Where's your phone panel, Mrs. Mullen?
I have no idea. That's okay. We'll find it.
You know, what I don't understand is these people, this he, she, it, well, whoever, got enough brains to snatch my son right from under my nose, but they only asked me for $2 million. Don't they know what I'm worth?
No. He's being smart, okay? Keeping it nice and simple for you. And he knows you got it. Knows you won't have a problem copping it up. Maybe, that's all he needs.
Can I just, look, the reason you're here and not the police is that we, my wife and I, we believe that this might be somehow connected with the, Machinist Union indictments.
Okay.
So, Jackie Brown. The man was caught on tape taking a payoff during contract negotiations with another airline, Infinite Air. It was a sting, okay? So there he is, dead in the water. He says to your people, can we do something here? And, so he offers me up.
Yeah, he said Tom gave him $250,000 for a sweetheart deal with the union.
Now, I have been investigated exhaustively. Me, my company, my family. We've been dragged through the tabloid mud, courtesy of FBI leaks, and nothing, all right, nothing. Now, Jackie Brown's in jail where he belongs, and he's pissed, and I think he's got some pretty unsavory associates out there.
Obviously, we're very aware of the Jackie Brown situation.
And
we're still working on it.
Well, Jesus Christ, I think you should pay a little more attention.
We're paying... No, can I make a suggestion, Mr. Mullen? Now, we are going to get into all of this in time, but for now, just hang loose, just sit tight, so we can get a plan.
Hang loose, sit tight, which one?
Tom, just let him finish.
No, it's okay, it's okay. No, look.
I'm sorry.
If this were my child, I'd be the same way, believe me. It's not a problem at all.
In the basement, Cubby looks down at the helpless Sean. The handcuffs have made a painful cut on his leg.
All right, kid, I know this is hard on you, right? But you gotta hang in there.
How many kidnappings have you worked before?
Altogether, 33. Now, you take away the custodial, gang, drug-related, I've worked 10. That's 10 traditional, ransom-oriented abductions in the last 5 years. Now, that's a lot. Believe it or not, this kind of thing is kind of rare.
Well, out of the 10, how many did you get back?
Got back 7.
Well, the others, what, went wrong?
Oh, life. What we call the X Factor.
What's the X Factor? What is that?
Tom grabs for the phone.
Are we set?
No!
Get Jack!
Hawkins stops him.
Any demands would come up. Now you just agree. You let him know he's in charge. Your only priority is getting your boy back. Get your boy back. You follow me? Now, you've got to give us some time, Mr. Mullen. You have to speak to your son. Ask for some sign that he's alive. Any information you can get. Then tell me he has an allergy. He has some medical condition. You want to know what kind of weather is he in? Is he indoors? Is he outdoors? Are we set?
Go!
Get your boy back.
Hello?
Everyone waits anxiously.
Cancel it.
We got it. Brenda Chase.
address 4108 Utopia Parkway. That's the secretary.
Yeah, we know.
Hawkins replaces the receiver.
Is our son dead?
Don't ever think that.
In the basement, Maris, the girl kidnapper, loads a pistol with bullets. She puts it into a suitcase. In the next room, Cubby breaks a piece off a candy bar.
Open your mouth. It's all right, it's full.
Sean eats.
So, why can't you starve in the desert? Because of all the sandwiches there.
The boy does not respond. Maris comes in as he gives Sean more candy.
What are you doing?
Exasperated, she walks out. Cubby follows her into the living room.
What the hell is going on?
I'm telling the kid a joke. What's the big deal?
You like this kid? You want to get to know him, get a little relationship going? You think that's going to make things easier or harder?
Make what easier, Maris?
Is he for real?
Yeah, I'm for real, bitch. Are you for real?
Why don't you just back off, all right?
You step up and I'll back off.
Come here.
Cubby's brother, Clark.
Listen to me. Look. With the candy bars and shit. It's just that you might be making beds in a burning house. Understand what I'm saying?
Yo, but Clark, man, the kid's in a cocoon. And he can't ID anybody. What the hell's he supposed to tell him?
Clark glances at Maris. Miles silently eats a Chinese takeaway.
Wait a goddamn second, man. Clark, you never said nothing to me about killing no kids.
Do you understand what is going on now? You do not joke with this kid. You don't play with him. You don't talk to him.
Don't talk to my brother,
he's not your pet. Look, this is real.
You don't got to talk to my brother, all right? You got nothing to say to him. Who do you think you are? You think you're running shit here?
No, I'm not running shit. My man is running shit.
Oh, your man.
But if I have a problem, I'm going to address it.
Yeah, I understand. All right.
I got to tell you, boy, she's scaring the bejeepers out of me.
And you're fucking drinking again.
Well, that's okay, though. See, because I haven't been drinking with the kid.
Tom's balcony.
I have to tell you something that I think you should know.
Okay.
I paid him off.
You understand, I'm not a priest. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a lawyer. Tom, this is not a protected conversation.
I understand. See, most guys at the top, they've acquired their airline. But not me. No, I built Endeavor from the ground up. And it's mine. And no bastard's taken it away from me. No union, no government, no gangster like Jackie Brown. I initiated the bribe. I had a business to run. I had 2,000 employees, God knows how many customers, and I didn't have time for a goddamn machine to strike. So, after what I did, what I proposed and carried out, he's in jail and I'm not. So my question to you is, did Jackie Brown take my son?
Do you want to go ask him?
Now, through a glass panel, Hawkins can see into a bare room where Tom is seated alone at a table, staring grimly ahead. An unshaven man wearing an orange jumpsuit is brought in. Jackie Brown looks at Tom warily, then sits facing him at the table. He folds his arms in front of him, defiantly holding Tom's gaze.
I've been thinking about you.
Where's my son?
What?
Do you think that ending up in this place is the worst thing that can happen to you?
What are you talking about?
Where is my son?
Somebody nabbed your kid. And you think that it's me. How? I don't got no connections. I don't got no friends.
I got no job. I got no money. And you motherfucker are accusing me.
He punches Tom.
I got six of my own kids, and I would die for every one of them.
Get him out of here.
And I haven't seen them since I got locked up in here because of you. Why aren't you in here? You fucking belong in jail. Who did you bribe? I ain't done with you, you fuck. I'll tell you.
Get out of here.
Who'd you pay somebody off the fuck?
As the guards hustle Jackie Brown away, Hawkins comes into the room. Tom heaves a sigh of frustration. Wearing his woolen hat, Cubby walks through the rain towards a corner shop. Inside the shop, police officers are questioning a youth.
Come on, you tell me that again. Say it again. Come on.
I said that I wasn't running out the store.
You weren't running.
Damn, man. I said I wasn't running with him. I was running away from him because he was, like, chasing me.
Yeah, look me in the eye and tell me that now.
I was running, but I was...
Yeah, where were you going?
A gun.
Whoa, hey, look at that. You ever seen that before? No? Am I going to find your prints on that?
No?
Bag that up.
The plainclothes officer spots Cubby, who is choosing a video.
Jimmy, we got a problem here. This guy doesn't want to close the store right now.
Fuck it, forget about it. Now tell me about your buddy.
Man, I don't know. I never saw him before. It was the first time I saw him.
Christ, this thing's pumping Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you got a heart problem there?
I was running. I wasn't...
Hey. You know, I smell a little bullshit here. I think he's running a game on me.
I think he's an LAD.
You a lying-ass dog?
You got any Frankenberry cereal?
I was chasing marshmallows. Yo, you get me a lawyer, right?
You get your own fucking lawyer.
The youth is put into a police car.
Yo, man, these cuffs are too tight, man.
That's because they're new. They'll stretch. You gotta give them a little time.
In the car. You want a pizza? You want a hot dog?
Here you go, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Let's go back to the house. Bye, Jimmy.
Drinking a coffee, Jimmy, the plainclothes officer, keeps his eye on Cubby, who leaves the shop and walks away down the street, looking furtively over his shoulder. A narrow alleyway lined with dustbins leads to a dark yard with low screened windows. Jimmy appears silently at the far end of a dim corridor. The officer moves forward with caution. He approaches a closed door and peers through a spy hole into a bare room where Sean is lying motionless, blindfolded and chained to a metal bed. Moving forward again, Jimmy pulls out a gun from its holster. He pushes aside a curtain. Under a multicolored blanket, Cubby lies asleep on a camp bed. As Jimmy presses the gun against his temple, he jerks awake. Jimmy clamps his hand firmly over his mouth.
Are you a known scumbag in this precinct or not? Shake your head. Come on.
Cubby nods with difficulty.
Now, a high-profile kid got snatched yesterday. You have no idea who knows about it, huh? Man, NYPD, FBI, do you? Shake your head.
He shakes his head.
So what do? You, a known scumbag, walks into a grocery store filled with cops and you ask for a box of kiddie cereal? I don't know about you, but I think that makes you a four-star asshole. What do you think?
Cubby nods. Jimmy removes his hand from Cubby's mouth and distastefully wipes it on the bedclothes.
What the hell are you going to do with the videos? Huh? The kid's got tape on his eyes, for Christ's sake.
Thought he could listen to him.
Don't be stupid again.
Maris turns over in bed as Jimmy empties his pockets onto the dressing table.
Jimmy.
Hey.
I was just dreaming about you.
Was it good?
Mm-mm. No, my father was back, and then he was beating me up again, and then you were there, but you didn't do anything. You were just standing there and watching.
Yeah, well, you know that's just a dream. I locked his ass up, remember?
Yeah, I know.
He climbs into bed beside her.
Where you been, man? I'm going out of my mind here, you know.
Hey, it's all right.
These guys are wacko. They don't listen to me. They don't respect me. I don't trust them.
Don't worry about them. They're afraid of me.
Why do we need them? Why?
We can't do this alone.
And the kid, I'm scared shit of this kid. I think we should just do this now. Get rid of him. Get it over with. Because he's like a time bomb.
Hey, listen to me. You think you're scared of the kid, but you know what you're really scared of? Your own humanity. Your own decency. Because you're good, and that's okay. It's all right. That's what I need from you.
Gently, he kisses her lips.
When the time comes, the kid's my problem, not yours, all right? Well, you still trust me, don't you? Yeah. Because you know I can do this, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Maris puts her arms around Jimmy and smiles up at him.
Good. Because it's time to get paid.
In the penthouse, Tom is looking through boxes of papers.
Is there anything in the reports?
Yeah. A lot of stuff we already know. A lot of stuff we don't know. Stuff you don't want to know. You know, you tell yourself, you lie to yourself that you're doing all this for your family, security, the future. All this King of the Mountain bullshit. It's bullshit. I keep seeing him tied up like that with those handcuffs and I can't help him. Upstairs.
Kate, where's Tom? Come on, man, let's do this. Come on.
Tom follows Hawkins upstairs.
All right, here they come.
Remember the drill.
Mark?
Jack!
Okay,
hello. Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Are you good to go?
Am I what?
Get in your car and drive.
96th Street West. Come alone.
Take the West Side Highway north.
I don't have the money yet. Not yet. But I need more time. I'll get it. I just...
Don't fuck with me.
I want to talk to my son.
Come alone.
Wait, hold on. Sean has asthma. It's very serious.
So what's the weather like?
Is it rainy? Damp?
Is he in a cellar? On a mountaintop? Please don't. My son gets vertigo.
How's the linguist doing with my accent?
The what? The linguist? No, hey, there's no one here. Just me.
Tom is surrounded by FBI agents.
Are you sure?
Hey, you think I'm a fucking idiot? I want to get this over with.
Very good. Let's keep it that way.
So how do I get my son back?
Are you going to pay me?
Of course I am.
Then it shouldn't be a problem. He'll call you.
When? Who? No, you'll call... He'll call me? When?
96th Street. Come alone.
God damn it!
Yes. Sweet and pretty.
They jammed us. Everything's frozen.
Did you get it? Where did you trace it to?
We crashed the computer.
The basement. Jimmy embraces Maris.
Did I pick the right guy or what?
Yeah.
What I tell you?
Yeah.
We're gonna get him.
Let's get Paul wired up.
Oh, I'll do it.
Tom stops the lookalike.
I'll do it. Let me.
As Cubby blows his nose, Jimmy gives Clark a gun.
You gonna be all right?
It's gonna be great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You better be.
Tom is wired up.
I got a situation here. Legally, I can't stop you from doing this. Understand that this guy, I don't know where he's coming from, and I think he's a professional. Now, if he starts throwing his curveballs out there, we are going to have to improvise, and we might not be able to protect you, Mr. Mullen. I think it would be wiser if you just let one of our guys make the drop.
Maybe you shouldn't do it.
Look, I'm okay. I'm okay, really. I just want to give him what he expects.
Cuppy talks to Sean.
Look, it's almost over, kid. I'm gonna get you back with your parents. Promise.
When?
Soon.
When? When?
Yes, there are tracking devices in the bag.
Molly wants the package.
Do you have any other questions?
All right, the car's completely wired. Any problems, we'll be right there.
You said I was to come alone.
All we're doing is following the money, Tom. We'll always be a safe distance away. Listen, let me give you a tip. This here's a business transaction, all right? You're a businessman. He's a businessman. If you think of this as business, you'll be fine.
Tom gets into his car. He starts the engine, then glances up at Kate.
Get him back.
Nervously, he nods to reassure her. Tom puts the car in gear and drives out of the garage. As he speeds through the city, the FBI track his progress by helicopter.
CP to SOUs. All units converge on 269 West 125 Street. 500 units CP. We have a visual on the package.
Tom picks up his car phone.
Yeah. Okay, listen up. I'm only going to say this once.
Get off at 125th Street. Go right, 3 blocks.
To the Casarda Rec Center. Take the suitcases inside with you.
Son of a bitch is scrolling us.
In the swimming pool, there's a locker key down by the drain in the deep end. There'll be somebody watching you. You won't see them, but they'll see you.
I want you to get that key. I want you fully clothed when you do. If you so much as remove your wristwatch, your son dies. When you have the key,
go find the locker. You got 7 minutes.
All right, I'll do everything you say. I just need you to repeat it so I can be very clear.
7 minutes.
To do what? To get there? To jump in the pool? God damn it. Oh, Jesus.
Miles locks the FBI trace.
We got it.
You what?
Lock out the trace.
No. Run the trace again.
All right, let's start dumping hackers and freakers in the profile. Anybody high-tech. We'll cross-match that with military background, police background, security training, hostage negotiation.
Tom draws up outside a recreation center. Grabbing two suitcases, he runs into the foyer.
Where's the pool?
Tom hurries down a tiled corridor into the pool hall and strides along the side of the swimming bath. Reaching the deep end, he puts down the cases and dives fully clothed into the water. The FBI.
Shit, we lost him. Damn.
Tom finds the key.
Track all unsubs that exit the building.
Astonished swimmers watch as Tom surfaces. His clothes streaming with water, he runs into the men's changing room. Men wrapped in towels watch curiously as he searches desperately amongst the rows of metal lockers. Tom opens a locker and snatches up a mobile phone.
Going too slow, get your ass moving. Now put on the hat and the overalls. Take the canvas bags downstairs to the boiler room.
Use the stairs by the shower. Put the money into the new bags.
Then leave the building and find a Monte Carlo. There's a key taped to the phone. Leave the phone with the suitcases.
And drive to the Holland Tunnel. We'll be watching you, Tom.
In the boiler room, Tom changes and transfers the money to the canvas bag. Cautiously, he emerges at the rear of the building. He hurries to a beaten-up saloon parked across the road, gets in, and drives away. The FBI.
I'm getting a reading on those suitcases. They haven't moved.
Tell the SO leader I want that building cleared.
The FBI reached the pool. Jimmy is parked on the street. As Tom drives past, the kidnapper pulls away and follows him. An agent reports back.
SO-15 to CP.
Located the packages. They're empty.
Sir, we've got four vehicles ID'd in the perimeter. One with a broken taillight.
Put out a description of those vehicles. Have all units grid out and locate them.
Keeping Tom's car firmly in sight, Jimmy joins a line of traffic streaming through the Holland Tunnel. He wears a headset with a small microphone connected to his modified phone. He presses a button.
Pick me up, asshole.
Tom picks up his car phone.
Now what?
So, how you holding up? You have a nice swim?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. You know, thanks for asking.
How's Sean?
Having the time of his life.
Yeah, I saw your TV commercial. That's not bad. That's pretty good. But let me ask you something. You got a frequent flyer program? Because if you do...
When this is over, I might just take an Endeavor flight the hell out of here.
Why? Why me?
Why you? Because you buy your way out of trouble.
Don't you? I read about you and that union guy.
You should have gone to jail for that. But I guess you're a pretty goddamn good liar, huh?
I saw you on TV, Tom, telling everybody how innocent you were. I looked at your eyes. You know what? You're a lying ass dog, pal. I know you paid that guy off.
You're a payer. You did it once. Now you're gonna do it again.
In dense woods, Clark opens the door of a trailer. Cubby drives out a four-wheeled buggy.
You okay?
Yeah.
Listen, Cubby, you want me to do this?
Jimmy said me.
Fuck what Jimmy said.
Look, I know the job, man.
Clark loads his gun.
Clark, man. I ain't giving Jimmy the money until he cuts the kid loose. Just ain't gonna do it, man.
What are you... Cub?
Clark stares challengingly at his brother, then holds out the gun. Tom's car.
You a movie fan, Tom? You ever see that movie, The Time Machine?
No. It's the land of the future, right? There's only two kinds of people in the world now. The Morlocks and the Eloi.
Okay.
The Eloys, they live above ground. They wear togas. They're all blonde. They eat grapes and shit like that. But it's like the Garden of Eden there, I mean.
Basically, everybody just lays around. Listens to harp music.
How do I get my boy back?
The Morlocks.
They live underground, right? Big, hairy, ugly suckers like you wouldn't wish on an ape, right? They're down there with all this machinery.
They're doing all the labor. They're making sure that the Eloys have enough food and togas.
Are you going to answer me?
Well, this is a
great deal if you're an Eloy, right? There's only one thing. Every once in a while, a Morlock comes up to the surface and snatches an Eloy. Takes him down there.
All right, I'm done driving till you tell me what I want to know.
The Morlocks, they don't eat grapes. They're cannibals. They eat Eloys.
Tom stops his car.
So when I think about the time machine, it kind of reminds me of New York City, you know?
Jimmy drives past him.
See, you're an Eloy.
You and all your friends walking around like zombies with no fucking idea of the shit going on down below.
So does this make me a Morlock?
I don't like to think of myself, but I guess it does.
And every once in a while, one of you gets snatched.
I guess that's...
Tom hurriedly starts his car as Jimmy moves out of range. He sets off in pursuit.
Sweet. What a city. See you at the Whitney.
at the Four Seasons.
See you at the Met. See you.
See you. See you. You on the move again, Tom? Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
About a mile up ahead, the road splits.
Take the exit onto Saddle River Road, go to the Stone Quarry. Drive 10 miles an hour.
I'm jumping through all your goddamn hoops. How am I going to get my boy back?
We'll swap. You give me the bags, I'll give you an address. Good luck to you, Lenny.
Tom drives on to the next motorway road sign. He takes the right-hand exit for Saddle River Road, peering anxiously to left and right. Meanwhile, Cubby drives the buggy away through the woods, leaving Clark by the trailer. At last, the headlights of Tom's car reveal below him the deserted cranes and gantries of the stone quarry. Hidden in the trees opposite, Cubby trains a pair of night vision field glasses on Tom's car as he steers it down the hill and drives warily across the quarry. Cubby starts to move through the trees. Tom's car moves slowly across the quarry floor. Suddenly, he's blinded by the headlights of the buggy. As Cubby drives it straight towards him, Tom stops the car and scrambles out. Cubby draws a gun.
Get back in the fucking car! Now throw out the keys. Give me the money, man.
Give me the address.
Give me the fucking money, man!
You said you were gonna give me the address.
What? You wanna see a kid again, man? Then give me the money! God damn it, give me the address! God damn you!
Cubby grabs the money, knocks Tom down, and starts the buggy. A helicopter flies overhead.
Fucking stupid, man!
Tom chases desperately after the buggy. The FBI nerve center.
We have an eye on him. Good.
Who is that?
Come on, Cubby. Come on, Cubby.
Clark watches his brother from the trees. A floodlight sweeps the quarry. Tom looks up at the helicopter. Jimmy sits watching in his car. His face tense, he drives away. Tom races behind the buggy. He follows it over the top of a waste heap. It zooms down the other side, picked out by a spotlight.
This is the FBI. There is nowhere to go. Drop the gun. Stop and watch.
Ropes drop from the helicopter. FBI agents swarm to the ground. Cubby fires into the air. An agent falls.
Got a green light, take him out!
Cubby is hit. Clark lowers his field glasses.
SWAT team leader to CP. We have an agent down. We have a subject down.
Kate panics.
Who got shot? Who the hell was shot?
As more agents drop from the helicopter, Tom races down the waste heap towards Cubby's body. Among the trees, Clark stares in disbelief. Tom reaches Cubby and turns him over.
Where is he? What are you done with him?
What? Come on.
Cubby struggles to speak.
Stand back, come on, step back.
No.
He's trying to tell me something.
Back off.
Medic! He's trying to tell me where my son is, I'm sure of it. What are you people doing? I did not authorize this.
We're here on orders.
That fucking liar. Don't let him die. Jesus Christ, don't let him die. God, don't let him die.
The medics try to staunch the bleeding without success.
Shit!
What?
10-7, sir.
He's dead.
Clark lowers his field glasses and puts his hand to his head.
How am I going to find Sean now?
Tom looks down in despair at the dead kidnapper as the helicopter drones overhead. Illuminated by the spotlight, he stares round accusingly at the FBI agents.
You killed my son.
Cubby's body is placed on a stretcher. In a tense silence, Tom takes the lift to the Mullen apartment, accompanied by several FBI agents. The blood-stained canvas money bags lie at their feet. They walk into the penthouse.
Forgive me as much as you can. This guy's got to be on parole, probation, something. Get the name of probation.
I told him no cops.
Tom attacks Hawkins, who pins him to the floor.
You were supposed to follow the money!
They were following the money, Tom. The guy had a gun in your face. He didn't have a choice. They thought you were in direct danger.
What does wrong mean? I mean, is he dead? Because if he's dead, just say he's dead. Don't tell me something went wrong. Just say my son is dead.
Hey, we are operating under the assumption that he's alive.
You mean you don't know? You don't know where he is. You don't know if he is. You're the goddamn FBI, and you don't know shit. You killed the son of a bitch, and now what? Get him, Tom.
Kate clings to Tom.
Go. Go. Go.
We know that the kidnapper at the quarry was not alone. We know that. We also have a real good idea about who he was teamed up with. Now, let me show you something.
The guy at the quarry, Cubby Barnes, has been in jail twice for burglary. This is no high-tech mastermind.
But this guy right here. Kate, Tom, you recognize him?
He shows them a mugshot.
Do you?
No.
Okay, now this is Clark Barnes, brother to the subject. Now, we went back and we found him in your son's video of the park. This guy is the brains in the family, and we also know he's a lot higher up the criminal food chain.
According to the NYPD, this guy Clark, his brother Cubby, they're supposed to be inseparable.
Now, I guarantee you, we are going to do our homework on this, and we will come up with another player. In the meantime, what we got to do...
A camera flashes from the roof opposite.
Jack.
Can we get some agents out there?
Yeah.
The media are gathering in the street below.
Lonnie, it's a...
State police sources
on the TV.
A man has been shot and killed in an apparent botched ransom drop.
There's also word that multimillionaire airline mogul Tom Mullen has been placed at the scene.
With more on that story, let's go to Donna Hanover live in front of Tom Mullen's New York home. Donna.
We have no official report yet on the identity of the victim or his role in the Sean Mullen kidnapping. Hopefully, we'll have more information for you later in this hour, but details have been slow to come from the police and FBI sources.
In the basement, Clark grabs the modified phone.
Good day, New York. And of course, as things happen here at the Mullen apartment building...
Hey, well, what are you doing?
Calling my mother.
No, man, you can't do that. Not from this phone.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, put the phone down.
What's the matter, Jimmy? You don't want my mother to know that her son's dead because you fucked up?
Turn that shit off.
I mean, that's what happened, isn't it? It's not exactly like this guy just rolled over, is it, Jim?
Just take it easy. Put the goddamn phone down.
Clark slumps into a chair.
He's a fucking kid.
Clark crashes across the kitchen.
Hey, calm down. Take it easy.
You want me to calm down, huh? You want me to fucking calm down? You realize they're looking for me right now, Jimmy? I'm fingered. I can't go back to my life. What do you want me to do? You tell me.
Shut up.
You tell me, huh?
You know, you're not going to be able to go to your brother's funeral either, man.
Shut the fuck up! Kid goes in the ground, Jim. That's it. That's it. Fuck the money. We do the kid, and I'm out of here.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
He's right. I mean, you said you were going to do it anyhow.
Shut up.
Clark grabs a knife.
Where you going?
Get out of my fucking...
Jimmy punches him. Clark collapses onto the kitchen floor.
Take a breath. Come on, take a breath.
brought you in on this because you had brains and balls. Think. The kid's gonna die when we don't need him anymore. Now use your fucking head. Go check on the kid.
Concerned by the turn of events, Maris hesitates.
It's all right. Go on. Go on.
Reluctantly, she walks out of the room. Jimmy bends down beside Clark, who turns his head away.
They kill your brother and you want to walk away? What the hell does that make you? This thing is not over. I swear to you, right now. Now more than ever. This guy will pay.
The light is switched on in Sean's prison. The boy lifts his head from the bed.
Can I have a chocolate bar?
The tape has come loose from his eyes, and he's able to see Maris in the doorway.
I know you.
No, you don't. Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Chocolate bar.
What do you think? This isn't happening? What, do you think your dad's gonna come in and save you, huh? Is that what you think? Well, he ain't. Nobody's coming, all right? You understand that? Nobody's coming, because this is it for you.
Roughly, she renews his blindfold. Surfacing surrounding the high-profile kidnapping. Miles hides a flask in his boot. York One
has exclusive information about... Hey, you know what the brothers call this? They said more drama, right? Like, shit, man, more drama? Best stay indoors today. You ever hear that? More drama? More drama? Dramamine.
Dramboy. You alright?
No, yeah. Good.
Maris reassures Jimmy, but still looks troubled.
Kimber, listen to this.
It shouldn't be a problem.
That. And it shouldn't be a problem.
In the penthouse, experts check the voice tapes.
Play it back again.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Sounds like... kind of horn.
Yeah, I know it's a horn. But what...
Sitting at his desk, Tom is studying the missing children information. Catching sight of a photograph of himself and Sean, he rubs his eyes wearily.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Hawkins calls his wife.
In the meantime, now you give her a big hug from me. Now, I don't care. You wake her up. No, I don't wake her up. I'm just... Oh, girl, I'm so glad we are not rich. You just gotta... Thank God for what you have.
He spots Tom.
I love you too. I gotta go. I'm gonna call you back. Okay, bye-bye. Hey.
He puts down the phone.
Why?
Tom regards him thoughtfully.
Why would this guy, these people, why would they?
He tries to puzzle something out.
Why would they ever let my son go? No matter what I do. I mean, no matter what I do. I mean, pay, don't pay, comply, tell him to go fuck himself. Why would I give him back? I mean, he's a witness any way you cut it. It's all bullshit. It's all just... 7 out of 10.
What are you saying?
Kate joins them.
All right. Morlock man gets his money. I don't think we'll ever see Sean again. That's... if he's still alive to begin with.
Well, now, are you talking about not paying?
No. No, we pay him.
No, no, wait a minute. Listen to me. Morlock man says the pickup guy will give me an address for Sean. I get there, the guy sticks a gun in my face. I said, you want the money? Now give me the address. Where's the address? You should have seen his face. He had no, absolutely no idea what I was talking about. None.
Okay.
This is not business to him. This is very personal.
I tell you that... everybody pays him. We get back 7 out of 10.
We give him what he wants. He will kill Sean.
Tom, you gotta play the odds, man. And I've been doing this for 18 years. And if I were a betting man, I would bet on the people who pay every time out of the gate.
Did you bet on the ones where you got back a corpse?
Tom walks out of the room.
Kate? If you want to see your child again, you You gotta help me with him.
Station!
The FBI tracers spring into action.
Mullen.
You think you can run a game on me and fuck me out of my money?
No, I was out of my control. I did exactly what you said.
You did? This is how you want to play it, huh? You gonna bullshit me, Tom? Who do you think you're dealing with? They told you they were just gonna follow the cash, right? Huh? Who's the asshole
you're listening to over there? Is he a Fed? I said no cops.
No FBI, you pay me, it shouldn't be a problem. Now we got a fucking circus out there.
All right, just say what you want to say.
The money.
I want to talk to my son.
Take the FDR drive down the Williamsburg Bridge exit.
No, I know he's dead.
You don't know shit. Take FDR drive
down to the Williamsburg
Bridge. My son is dead. Go to hell!
What did you do? Tom, what did you do?
Oh, God. Please, God. Please, God.
Tom has cut off the call. In the basement, Sean is hauled to the phone.
Mullen. Sean?
Williamsburg Bridge. And you assholes listening in?
If I smell you clowns within 10 miles
of that money, I'll gut this kid like a fish.
Slowly, Tom replaces the receiver. Kate hurries out of the room. She returns carrying the bags containing the ransom money and puts them down in front of Tom. He addresses Hawkins and the FBI agents.
Give me Mr. Wallace.
I'm going alone. Is that understood? No helicopters, no wires, just me.
The ransom money is placed in the boot of a car. Tom sits at the wheel, his face drawn and tense.
You got the phone?
The basement.
Gonna be all right.
Clark pockets a gun. Clark leaves. An underground garage. A grey saloon drives up the ramp into the street. Police stop the traffic to let it through. It speeds away. A crowd of journalists, photographers, and camera crews catch up with it at the first set of traffic lights. The driver is Tom's FBI lookalike. A second grey saloon emerges from the garage. One television camera team remains. The two men jump into a red TV van and follow. Tom looks over his shoulder and spots his pursuers, but the narrow road ahead is blocked by stationary vehicles. Desperately, he swerves past them onto the pavement, closely followed by the red van. Tom stops his car. He opens the boot. He strides towards the red van.
Man, this is fucking great.
Tom smashes the driver's window. He snatches the keys from the ignition. Angrily, he hurls the keys down the street. Tom gets back into his car, and the defeated cameraman films him as he drives away. The lights ahead of Tom change to red. He draws up and waits in a line of traffic. As he sits impatiently waiting for the lights to change, a class of school children cross the road in front of him. One blonde boy closely resembles Sean. Beside Tom's car, a shop window is relaying a news program on a bank of television sets. On every screen, he sees an image of himself. The lights change to green. Tom's car remains stationary as he continues to watch the news clips of Kate, himself, and Sean. He grabs his car phone.
Where you at now?
I don't know.
Head up to Houston and Broadway.
As Tom listens to the kidnapper, a picture of Sean appears on the TV screens. Tom stares at the image of his son.
Mullen.
He makes a sudden decision.
Change of plan.
What?
Turn on your TV. Channel 5. Keep watching.
Shouldn't be more than an hour or two.
Jimmy is confused.
You understand what I'm telling you?
Mullen.
What the fuck?
Tom rings off. He drives off as the lights change. Jimmy punches the wall in frustration. Tom phones a colleague from a call box.
It's mine. Hello?
David? I need you to contact Don Campbell at WNYW.
All right.
Good.
Bob, can I talk to you, please?
Hawkins and Kate look on anxiously.
David.
Later.
Okay, they're ready.
Tom takes a deep breath. He walks slowly across the floor of a television studio and is guided into position by a floor manager. His picture appears on a screen.
Mr. Mullen, we're going to get you set up right over here. We'll get you wired up with a mic. I will signal to you from next to the camera. Ready to go? On 5, 4, 3, 2. Good afternoon. We are interrupting this program to bring you an exclusive report. As you know, we've been following the Mullen kidnapping for about a day or so.
We will get back to our regular program, but right now we're going to show you something that you only see right here. Tom Mullen, Sean Mullen's father. Mr. Mullen?
Pale and unshaven, Tom stares into the TV camera.
Tom, you're on.
The whole world now knows. My son, Sean Mullen, was kidnapped for ransom 3 days ago. This is a recent photograph of him. And Sean, if you're watching, we love you. And this? Well, this is what waits for the man that took him. This is your ransom.
Jimmy watches in a bar.
$2 million in unmarked bills, just like you wanted. But this is as close as you'll ever get to it. You'll never see $1 of this money. Because no ransom will ever be paid for my son. Not one dime, not one penny. Instead, I'm offering this money as a reward on your head. Dead or alive, it doesn't matter. So congratulations, you've just become a $2 million lottery ticket. Except the odds are much, much better. Do you know anyone that wouldn't turn you in for $2 million? I don't think you do. I doubt it. So wherever you go and whatever you do, this money will be tracking you down for all time. And to ensure that it does, to keep interest alive, I'm running a full-page ad in every major newspaper every Sunday for as long as it takes. But, and this is your last chance, you return my son, alive, uninjured. I'll withdraw the bounty. With any luck, you can simply disappear. Understand? You will never see this money. Not $1. So you still have a chance to do the right thing. If you don't, well, then God be with you, because nobody else on this earth will be.
Tom starts to collect up the bundles of banknotes from the desk in front of him.
Well, there you have it, Rosanna. Shocking turn of events. The ransom has turned into a $2 million bounty.
Tony, it's obviously a very dangerous situation. Anything can happen. Of course, we wish him the best of luck. Did you notice he described the kid?
Tom looks around the studio at the accusing eyes of the assembled television crew. In the basement, Maris picks up the phone and puts out a call to Clark.
He said, Sean, if you're out there listening, I love you. It was very heartbreaking.
And also, my producer's telling me...
Yeah.
Mullen, you're a fool!
Journalists, photographers, and members of the public greet Tom outside the TV studio. In the basement, Jimmy opens the door of Sean's prison. The room is deserted, the bed empty. He wakes Miles from a drunken sleep.
Hey, where'd they take the kid?
You know, place we said.
The Mullen apartment.
I had to do this.
You had to do this. You had to do this.
tape, please. I'm so scared. But I know if I give him the money, he'll kill Sean. I would if I was him.
What did you just say?
Just look at it from his point of view.
In the woods, Clark digs a grave.
Everybody off balance. You think you got it all figured out?
Trying to screw me?
And then suddenly
Jimmy finds him.
The one thing you thought would never happen does.
We're gonna end this.
What are you doing?
No ransom, no money, no profit, nothing, nothing but downside. Because you got this boy's father. He's coming on like a stark, raving, mad lunatic.
Oh, you turned her around, didn't you?
I mean, the guy can piss $2 million, but he's willing to risk everything just to fuck you up. How can you negotiate with a lunatic like
Jimmy that? Knocks Clark into the grave.
Now you're off balance.
Lay down! You want to stay down there forever, maggot? Did I get my money?
Pretty soon you realize if you don't return this kid in mint condition as soon as possible, you're going to be the most hunted man on the face of the earth. And this maniac will never, ever quit until he's got you. Nobody pulls that on me. You know me.
Jimmy points a gun at Clark.
This is my show. I say when it's over.
Take it back.
No.
Tell him that you were wrong.
Kate, no, I can't. No, Kate, there is no other way.
None. He's my son, too, and Kate, I want you to pay him.
They will kill him. Please. All we have is each other. Do you think any of them, do you think they can... It's just us. Do you think I don't want him back? Is that it? You think I wouldn't do absolutely everything in my power to get him back? Cut my arm off. I want him back so bad. Kate, please. I don't think I can take this if you're not with me.
Kate stares at him, undecided. In the woods, Maris sits huddled under the trees. As Jimmy approaches her, she glances up at him, then turns away.
Don't quit on me.
He drops a gun at her feet. Sean lies handcuffed on the ground, tape over his eyes and mouth. The penthouse.
Tom. Now... I think what you did was wrong. It put your son at greater risk. Now I need you to withdraw that reward. Just pay this bastard. Now I believe that you will get your son back. And when you do, we will nail this son of a bitch. Now, God forbid you don't. Your son, I swear to you, I will work on nothing else if I have to. I will take a leave of absence from the FBI, and you can hire me as your personal security consultant, and I will work on this as long as I am physically able.
Please.
Tom, I never told anybody, any of my people, about you and Jackie Brown, the real truth of it. And maybe I never will.
You think I'm worried about going to jail?
Hawkins seeks out Kate.
Mayor Barisi today voiced his disapproval of Tom Mullen's decision. Donna Hanover joins us later in the broadcast.
You care for an update?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the last 2 hours since your husband's TV thing, we've had 4,000 calls. And you know how many real, good, solid leads?
How many?
Zero. And every time one of these greedy little whack jobs calls, that is one less agent looking for your child. Now, I got to tell you, Kate... I have never been confronted with such an unbelievable act of sabotage by a parent toward the recovery of their child as what your husband pulled up here today. It is all on you now to talk to your husband, get him to withdraw this money. Otherwise, we are in deep
withdraw them. What if he's right? What if they have no intention of returning Sean at all? I trust him.
You trust him?
Yeah, I believe in him. I stick with Tom. And we always manage to land on high ground.
High ground? Huh. Like with the Jackie Brown situation?
Yeah.
What exactly did your husband tell you about Jackie Brown?
Now, Kate hurries upstairs.
I'll give him a call. David? Yeah. I talked to you from there.
Yeah, sure.
Look, Hawkins said that if I can come up with the $2 million, that he'd work it so that I can make the drop. Now, all I can raise is about $500,000. I know you have access to a discretionary fund.
Kate, Jesus, please, listen. You should talk to Tom about
this. This isn't about
stuff.
Tom. Really. This is Sean.
Tom moves towards them.
Kate, I can't do it.
He told you not to give me any money, didn't he?
Katie's my boss, okay?
In the basement, Sean is thrown back onto the bed. Maris tears away the tape and spoons yogurt into his mouth.
Eat this. Thank you.
Disturbed, she fixes the handcuffs to the bed. Tom watches TV.
Again, I say if it were my kid, I would pay.
I like the idea, yeah. You want the money, come and get it. And when he comes and gets it, I hope somebody cuts their heads off, you know?
I get my boy from the Bronx, and we just totally mess him up big time.
I think he's risking his son's life.
I think he's a fool. His child's life is in danger. Pay the money. Get on with your life.
I'd beg, borrow and steal if I had to. He should pay.
The maid speaks to Kate.
A man calls me at my home today. He asked me to look in my mailbox. He told me to give you this.
And nobody else. He said if the police know anything about this, if Mr. Mullen knows about this...
A message.
They'll kill Sean.
Okay.
Mommy, 2 a.m., come alone. In the basement, Jimmy switches on the light in Sean's prison. As he walks slowly towards the small, blindfolded figure huddled on the bed, he flicks open a knife.
Who is it?
2 a.m., Kate enters a ruined church. As pigeons flutter up into the roof, she's startled by a plank falling from rickety scaffolding. Nervously glancing over her shoulder, she sits down at the end of a pew. Still waiting, she looks anxiously around the derelict building. Her watch now reads 2:28. A figure in a ski mask punches her in the face, knocking her off balance. His hand at her throat, he pins her violently to the ground and puts his mouth close to her ear.
It's very simple. I'm growing very, very tired of his bullshit. Take back the reward and pay me my money, or you're gonna find pieces of your little boy all over New York. I'm not gonna waste a bullet. I'm just gonna sharpen my knife.
He presses a cloth over her face. Left alone, half smothered, Kate recognizes the cloth as Sean's blood-stained T-shirt. Later, the Mullen penthouse.
He never raised his voice at all, Kate?
No, he was whispering. He was whispering.
Okay, come on, we'll take it to the lab.
Hawkins takes the T-shirt from Tom.
You paid off to save your airline. Why won't you pay off to save your son?
Tom realizes that Kate now knows the truth about Jackie Brown. He glares accusingly at Hawkins.
I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm here to get your boy back.
Hawkins leaves Kate and Tom alone together. Tom finds it hard to speak. Pale and subdued, Kate sits at the kitchen table, a livid bruise on her face caused by the kidnapper's fist. At last, Tom faces her.
I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive me for that. And for what I have to do now.
He crosses to the lift.
You get the shirt to forensics. Make sure they check for more than one blood type.
Sure, Lonnie.
What are you doing, Tom? Where are you going?
Hawkins follows him down to the lobby.
All right, just think before you act.
He watches anxiously as Tom strides out of the apartment block towards the waiting crowd of reporters and photographers who swarm around him. Sitting at home, Jimmy's attention is suddenly drawn to the TV screen as he hears Tom's voice.
I'd like to make a statement. And that is that I'm undeterred in my course of action. And I'm raising the reward. I'm raising it by $2 million. I want my son back. Thank you.
Unsure of what to do, Jimmy leans forward in his chair and rubs his forehead. Grim-faced, Tom makes his way through the excited journalists.
This just in. Tom Mullen has reportedly raised the reward money for his son's life by $2 million.
Angrily, Jimmy grabs his coat and thrusts a gun into his pocket. He hurries down the street. Meanwhile, Maris cautiously emerges from the basement of the kidnap house, carrying a bag. She stops as Jimmy appears at the end of the passageway, blocking her exit.
Hey. Where are you going?
Maris turns and runs back towards the house. But he catches up with her and roughly grabs her by the arm. He swings her round.
You've ruined my life.
He pushes her away violently.
Who the hell do you think I'm doing this for?
A stunning development tonight as Tom Mullen doubles the reward money to $4 million for the capture of...
Tom grabs the phone.
What? Want to talk to your son?
Yes, of course I do.
Daddy? Dad?
Sean.
I want to listen.
Kate grabs headphones.
That's enough. No, put them back on. I want to talk to him. You just did. You're never going to talk to him again. No more fucking around. This is it, right now. What's it going to be?
Jimmy's eyes are wide and staring as he waits for Tom's reply.
No.
Bullshit. You're not going to touch him. You can't be that stupid. Do you have any idea the rain of shit I can put on you? Look at your wife.
Look at her face, motherfucker. Do you know what I can do to your boy?
Is it dark where you're calling from? You got the shades drawn? Kind of like a cellar, right? Like a cave? Well, you better get used to that. You better get used to crawling in the dark for the rest of your days, because I am going to get the best group of manhunters in this country, and I am going to dedicate my life to tracking you down. Hey, get your head out of your ass! You think you can threaten me, huh? Who do you think you're dealing with? Give me the money! Fuck you and your $2 million. Don't you understand English, you useless piece of shit? No money, none! Let me tell you something. You think you're suffering right now? Huh? You got no idea what suffering is. If I don't get the cash, in 1 hour, this kid is dead! I don't get my son back, and I mean real soon. You better kill yourself. Because when I catch up with you, I'm gonna take my goddamn time.
By the time we're finished, you're gonna wish you weren't born!
I'll have your head on a fucking pike, you understand me? Fuck you! I'll fucking kill him right now!
I wanna talk!
You kill him! You kill yourself, you motherfucker! Give me back my son!
Hello!
You want him? Yes! You want him?
Daddy!
Oh, geez.
Tom drops the phone.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, God!
He reels across the room, clutching his head in horror.
I'll fucking kill you, man!
Furiously, Jimmy crashes out of the basement, kicking obstacles out of his way. Kate attacks Tom.
Son of a bitch! You son of a son of a bitch! Oh, God.
Both of you, listen to me!
You killed him, not them, you!
No, Kate! Okay, it's all right.
Hawkins and his colleagues pacify Kate.
Oh, God. I wanted to talk to him.
You will. Sean, still alive, shakes with terror.
What do we do about this kid?
You're my problem no more.
Can't ID anybody, right? Fuck him.
Kate is sick with shock. Sean stirs as Maris opens the door of his prison. Holding a gun, she walks towards the bed. Concealed in a laundrette across the street, Jimmy watches Clark and Miles through the shop window as they hastily load up the van. Maris grips the gun. Rigid with guilt, Tom's eyes are full of tears.
Oh, God, no, please, help me.
Kate is inconsolable.
Okay, give me a price, it's okay.
Oh,
Tom suddenly makes a move. He flings open the French windows and hurls himself across the balcony towards the balustrade. He leans dizzily over the edge, clutching desperately onto the stone parapet, staring down at the moving traffic far below. Beside Sean's bed, Maris's finger tightens on the trigger. Tom backs away from the balustrade. He gasps for breath. Distraught, he staggers across the balcony. He clutches the parapet for support. Still in a daze, Kate watches from the window. Weeping, Tom collapses onto his knees. Maris lifts the gun to her own temple. Kate slowly crosses the balcony towards her husband. She kneels beside him and puts out a hand to touch him. Tom flinches away.
Oh, oh.
Overcome with grief, he falls sobbing into her arms. Jimmy is still keeping watch from the laundrette. Huddled together on the balcony, Tom and Kate cling to each other for comfort. Jimmy realizes that Clark and Miles have almost finished loading the van. At last, he makes his move. He walks deliberately between the rows of washing machines into the middle of the busy laundrette. He takes out his police walkie-talkie.
South 44 to base.
2627 18th Street, 1013, officer needs assistance. I have several armed men in a house, possible kidnap situation. Repeat, possible kidnap situation, 1013, officer in civilian clothes.
He goes out into the street. Clark climbs into the van. As Jimmy pulls out a gun, Clark and Miles suddenly catch sight of him on the pavement. Jimmy holds out his identity badge.
Police!
Shit.
Get the fuck out of the van!
So bad, come on.
Clark desperately revs the engine. Still showing his police badge, Jimmy walks towards the van. Clark drives straight at him. Jimmy fires. Clark is hit. Jimmy shoots him again. Unarmed, Miles tries to escape from the van.
Draft a gun!
Jimmy shoots again. Miles' body half falls out of the open door. His lifeless hand scrapes along the road, leaving a bloody trail beside the slowly moving van. Hidden from sight, Jimmy wraps a gun in a handkerchief to prevent fingerprints and fires it twice. He bends and puts the gun in Miles' hand, then checks the street. Jimmy falls back against the van. Shot in the shoulder, he sees Maris across the road holding a gun. As Jimmy faces her, she hesitates. Then her eyes widen as she prepares to fire again. Shot twice in the chest, Maris falls. Jimmy lowers his gun. He moves away from the shelter of the van. Walking with difficulty, gun at the ready, Jimmy crosses to the spot where Maris fell. His face softens momentarily as he stares down at her. She lies sprawled awkwardly at the bottom of a flight of stone steps, her dark eyes open, a trickle of blood at the corner of her mouth. Jimmy registers the police sirens. In the basement, still holding his gun, Jimmy opens a door. He approaches the small, defenseless figure on the bed. Armed police storm the basement. They search every room.
Clear! Clear! Police, freeze!
Whoa! I'm a cop! Clear!
Hold your fire! I'm a cop! He's all right.
Jimmy lies wounded beside the bed.
I'm a cop.
Sean is semi-conscious.
Kate, Tom.
Outside the kidnap house.
FBI, coming through. Stay with me, Coming through, fellas, coming through.
Hawkins guides the Mullins through the crowds of police, journalists, and onlookers.
Where's
Tom sees the bodies in the van.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Where is Sean?
In the house, right over here.
As they run into the house, Jimmy is carried out on a stretcher.
Sean? Sean, I'm the father. Sean?
Who's it?
Sean, it's me. It's Daddy.
Daddy.
Is he all right? Can I pick him up? Can I hold him?
No, he's going to be all right. He's just got a nasty cut on his hand, and he's a little dehydrated.
You're okay, buddy. You're okay. We got you. We got you now.
Hi, Mom. Hi, sweetheart.
It's okay.
Take me home, okay?
Oh, sure.
Take me home, okay? I love you, Sean. Me too.
Kate kisses the top of his head and holds him close. Unable to speak, Tom nods his thanks to Hawkins.
You okay?
He strokes Sean's hair. Outside.
Is this serious injury?
Now Tom searches out Sean's rescuer. Beside an ambulance, Jimmy lies bandaged on a stretcher.
Thank you.
Tom shakes his hand and smiles down at him gratefully. Jimmy nods weakly, his expression hidden by an oxygen mask.
Thank you.
Hawkins draws Tom away.
Tom, just come this way.
He shows Tom Maris's body.
You know her?
Yeah. I do.
Jesus Christ.
Work for me, catering.
At the van, police investigators search the bodies of the kidnappers. The Mullins walk away from the house, Kate keeping close to Tom, who hugs his son protectively. Still dazed, Sean accustoms his eyes to the light. The police clear a path through the crowd of cameras and reporters. The paramedics close the door of the ambulance.
Turn the lights on.
Hospital room.
It's all right.
I'm afraid of the dark. I don't like the dark. Leave the light on.
No, we'll leave them on. We'll leave them on. All the time.
In the same hospital.
Next thing I know, one guy starts blasting away at me. The other guy, he goes to run me over. So, you know, I just did what I had to do.
But what about the woman? Jimmy?
I just got spun around by the bullet. I didn't know it was a woman till after.
Back home, Jimmy phones an airline.
He's an honest cop. He does a hell of a job.
No, just one. Cancel the other one.
He's watching TV news.
How do I feel?
No. Just one way.
He's packing a suitcase.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Kinney. Yeah, thanks.
Continuing our coverage of the Mullen kidnapping case, questions still surround Maris Connor. With no prior criminal record, authorities are interrogating family and friends, seeking any associations that would connect her to the other slain suspects.
He loads a gun.
Sources reveal today that the investigation continues, and the search for other suspects is by no means over. Many investigators believe that indeed the masterminds of the Mullen kidnapping may still be at large.
The park. The Mullins play football.
Will you make it?
You cold, honey?
Yeah, my hands.
Do you want to go home?
I bring my gloves.
No.
Sure. And hey, you're squinting a little. Is the sun still bothering you? Put these on. Yeah.
Sunglasses.
I'll go get your gloves. You better practice. I'll be back.
Jimmy watches, unseen, as Tom returns home.
You look good, Thomas, honey. Look at my glasses. Can you see? Look like your daddy in those.
Well, David, it's a little hard to focus right now. Can you wait?
No. Well, hell with it then. Let him have it. Let it go.
Listen, I got Sean waiting for me in the park, so maybe we...
Hey. I'll call you back, David. Call you back.
Mr. Mullen, the doorman just called up. Mr. Shaker wants
to... Yeah, I'm sorry to show up like this.
Oh, hell no. Come in. I want to talk to you.
Thanks.
Come in. How's the shoulder?
Yes. No, I'll live.
I'm surprised to see you up and about so quick. Fatima, this is Jimmy Shaker.
I'm very proud to meet you. Very proud.
Thanks. How's the kid doing?
Oh, he's fine. You know, all things considered, it'll take a while.
Yeah.
Forgive me. I thought we were going to meet on Monday. Maybe I screwed up.
You're right. Monday, that's what we said.
Jimmy switches off his police radio.
Look, I don't want you to get the wrong impression of me here, but I was hoping we could do this today. You know, the reward and all, because I got to tell you, it's kind of crazy around me, you know, the press and everything.
Oh, I understand, yeah. Look, they're maniacs. Yeah. Nothing easier. Follow me.
I'm not used to this, you know. I just got to get out of here. Kind of a private person, you know.
To tell you the truth, I never killed anybody before. Having a hard time with it. Well, I'm sorry. I'm glad you did what you did.
Tom sits at his desk.
But I'm sorry. Sit down, please.
Thanks.
So is it Jimmy? James?
James.
He sits down opposite Tom.
James will do.
Tom fills in the check. A faint smile flickers across Jimmy's face as Tom writes out the figure of $4 million. Jimmy glances curiously at Tom.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Why didn't you pay the ransom?
Because I was dealing with human garbage. No contract would have been honored, not by them. And the funny thing is, I would have paid 10 times as much if I had any sense that they'd stick to the deal, but no.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really. The thing that really kills me about that is the woman. You've been in this house 5-6 times over the last year. Nice, pleasant, you know. You just can't... I don't know how people can walk around with that... like cold-blooded, two-faced... bitch.
Well, you know, in fairness to the dead, we're all a little two-faced in this day and age.
Tom sees that Sean is listening.
It's a survival mechanism. You know what I'm saying?
Terrified, the boy urinates from fear.
I mean, you know, as a cop, you should hear some of the stuff that's been thrown my way over the years.
Tom, just forget about the gloves, honey. He wanted to come home.
Kate. Mr. Shaker's here.
Mr. Shaker.
Recognizing Jimmy's voice, Sean peeps out from hiding.
Oh.
Kate embraces the kidnapper. Tom registers the boy's horror and confusion.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, listen, you got to meet Sean. I'll go get him.
No, he's, you know, had enough. Let's give him a breather.
Yeah, he's had enough.
Okay. Can I get you anything?
No.
Tom sees Sean dodge out of sight.
I understand. Don't mention it.
Okay.
Fatima, would you please help me with some things downstairs?
I'll be right there.
Sensing that Tom is suspicious, Jimmy coolly holds his gaze.
Oh, this is one hell of a deposit you got here.
Shouldn't be a problem.
The phrase rings a bell in Tom's memory. He hesitates. He signs the check and hands it over.
Well, you'll probably want to be on your way. Unless there's anything else I can do for you.
Jimmy takes the check, but does not move.
Good. Right, well... I know how these vultures out there can drive you nuts, so You know, there's a back door out if you, want to be a little
this
more...
This check is bullshit, Tom.
Jimmy shows his gun.
What'd you think? I'm just gonna waltz out of here, you lying motherfucker. Huh? Let you make a phone call? Have half the cops in New York waiting for me while I cash this thing? You can't lie to me.
Look.
Shut your mouth.
Tom closes the door.
Fuck.
Jimmy angrily rubs his forehead as he plans what to do. Tom watches him warily. Jimmy turns on him.
You know who I am? Now you sit down. Everybody was gonna make out fine. But you had to go and put it together, and now we got a little problem here, don't we? Tell me that part again about why you didn't pay the ransom.
I think we can do something.
Say it. You were dealing with what?
You had my son.
You have no idea what human garbage is, motherfucker. Do you know what the fuck you're talking about? No, I don't think you do, because look where you fucking live, man. Look at the airline man here. This fucker won't pay 1 cent to save his only kid.
Wasn't gonna get him back, was it?
Hey, did you read the papers? Did you see the TV? I took a bullet. I risked my life to save your kid. I took a bullet, and now you're gonna try to fuck me out of my money. Huh? What's over here?
Where are you going?
Where's Mommy and Junior?
Now I'll pay. Now.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna pay all right. Right now.
Pointing the gun.
Do you have an account I can wire the money to? I mean, you got to have been all set up for this, right? I mean, you're not dumb. You and me, we go right now to my bank, and we wire the money from my account to yours as the push of a button, just like that. We'll just go down to the bank and get it done.
Pick up the phone. Wire it from here.
Tom sits down.
No. We'll go to the bank and do it. And you'll get the money, and all I want in return is you out of this house now.
Jimmy puts the gun to Tom's head.
Hey, you do not call the shots.
Well, then you just go ahead and kill me right here and now, you son of a bitch.
Tom kicks the table.
Fuck you, I'm not picking up that phone. You got that? I'm not picking it up. You can kill me? Go ahead, kill me. Just kill us. Let us live, doesn't matter. Anyway, you cut it, you're on the run. Now, you can come with me to the bank and be on the run with $4 million, or you can just start shooting and be on the run with whatever you got in your wallet. It's up to you. Come on, Jimmy, let's go to the bank. Oh, Jesus Christ. I got what I want. Bottom line, I got my son back, and you delivered him. I got my own plane. I can fly you out of here myself anywhere you want to go. You can still win this thing. Think. You can still win.
His face twisted with fury. Jimmy's finger tightens. Tom braces himself. The gun is withdrawn.
We do what you say. We go to the bank. If anything goes wrong, you're gonna turn around and I'll be gone. Okay, and if that happens, from this day on, anytime your kid leaves this house to go to school, go play, see a friend, to buy a fucking comic book, you're gonna have to ask yourself, is today Jimmy Shaker Day? I got to him once. I'll get him again. And when I do, I'm not gonna want money anymore. Do we understand each other?
Sure.
Jimmy lowers the gun. They get into the lift. Jimmy presses a button. He knees Tom hard in the stomach.
That's from Maris.
Tom's car leaves the underground garage.
Calling airport.
Tom picks up the car phone.
Where are we going? Mexico. Guadalajara.
Tom dials Hawkins' number.
David, this is Tom. Fuel up the jet. I'm going to Guadalajara.
Yeah, well, something came up.
I'm on my way to the bank now.
Is a kidnapper with you?
Absolutely.
Jimmy switches to speaker.
I'll explain everything later. Give Katie a call. Bye.
Tom cuts off the call.
Anton, give me the Mullen house.
Sean, what's the matter, honey?
Sean is hiding in his play tent. At the bank, Tom gets out of the car.
Stay on my right.
Jimmy shows him the gun.
What are you guys doing? You can't park there?
I would just go into the bank 5 minutes.
Shaker? Yeah. How you doing, Jimmy? Nice to meet you.
Yeah. You too.
How you doing, Mr. Mullen? Good to meet you.
Just want to shake your hand, boss. You made us proud.
Well, you know, just doing the job.
Yeah.
What do you think of this guy, Mr. Mullen?
What can I say? He's the man.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, take it easy.
Later, Jim.
Okay. You guys take it easy now. All right. This guy's not going to be long, right?
No.
No problem.
The delighted policeman escort Jimmy and Tom to the door of the bank. Inside, the manager greets them.
Mr. Mullen, what a pleasant surprise. Welcome.
Have I still got any money in this bank? I have to do some business with Mr. Shaker here. This is Michael.
Mr. Shaker, of course. Right this way.
Hawkins drives furiously towards the bank. Inside, the staff are taking souvenir photographs.
Terrific. Okay, that's enough. Let's get this man his money. Thanks very much.
No problem.
All units in the 2-2, looking for Detective James Shaker.
Outside, police receive a radio message.
Shaker is thought to be in the vicinity of Madison. 90th Street. Subject is an armed New York City detective.
Just push enter and it's yours. $4 million.
Jimmy presses the button. The screen shows transaction complete.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay.
Jimmy nods to Tom. As they leave the bank, two policemen approach them.
Hey, Shaker! What's going on? I just got a call over the radio.
Oh, hey, it's my birthday. You know, the guys are trying to pull something.
I got it covered.
Can we talk to you for a second, man?
No, we have to detain you.
Jimmy shoots one policeman. Then the other. He drops the gun as Tom knocks him over the bonnet of a taxi. Holding him down on the road, Tom punches him violently in the face. Jimmy swings his head to avoid the vicious blows. Tom strikes his wounded shoulder. Tom hits him again. Out of control, he shakes Jimmy furiously. The police arrive. Tom is distracted. Knocked off balance by Jimmy, he's hit by a passing taxi, hurled against the windscreen and thrown into the road. As he scrambles to his feet, he sees the kidnapper ahead of him, escaping between the slow-moving rows of traffic. Desperately, Tom sets off in pursuit, but Jimmy manages to keep a line of vehicles separating them. Tom leaps over the bonnet of a taxi. Ahead of him, Jimmy is trapped by a truck. Tom flings him through the brilliantly lit plate glass window of an electrical lighting shop. Surrounded by shards of glass, they both lie cut and bleeding amongst the shattered remains of light bulbs and broken lampshades. Painfully, Tom lifts his head and looks across at Jimmy. The gun is lying between them. Jimmy's head moves slowly as Tom's hand reaches out and picks up the gun. Hawkins gets out of his car. Police take cover behind parked vehicles and train their guns on the shop.
Put it down!
Tom climbs out of the window, pointing the gun at Jimmy, who stumbles after him, bleeding from a deep cut on his neck. Hawkins calls urgently to Tom.
Put the gun down, Tom!
Tom faces the badly wounded kidnapper.
Put the goddamn gun down!
Bleeding heavily, Jimmy slumps against the wall.
Come on, put the gun down.
Tom sees Kate walking towards him and hesitates.
Don't do nothing stupid. Put the gun down, Tom!
He stares into the kidnapper's cold eyes. Unseen, Jimmy feels for the gun in his ankle holster.
On the ground, Shaker! On the ground!
Reluctantly, Tom lowers his weapon.
Put the gun down.
That's right, man. Back off, Tom. Just walk away.
Jimmy pulls his gun. Hawkins fires. The kidnapper staggers as the bullets strike home. Tom drops his gun. Jimmy's lifeless body slumps to the pavement. Blood is streaming down Tom's face. In a state of shock, he puts his hands in the air. He is surrounded by armed police training their guns on him. As they move to arrest him, Hawkins warns them off.
Tom Mullen is with us. Back away!
No! No!
The scene turns to black and white as Tom looks down at Jimmy's blood-covered body lying sprawled at his feet. Kate hurries towards her husband. He embraces her as if in a dream. As Hawkins and Kate lead Tom away to a waiting ambulance, he stops for a moment and looks back at the body of Sean's kidnapper lying motionless on the pavement. The audio description of this film was written by Di Langford, read by Nigel Greaves, and recorded by John Wakeham. This audio-described video has been made available by the RNIB Home Video Service. Cast: Tom Mullen, Mel Gibson. Kate Mullen, Renny Russo. Sean Mullen, Brawley Nolte. Jimmy Shaker, Gary Sinise. Agent Lonnie Hawkins, Delroy Lindo. Maris Connor, Lily Taylor. Clark Barnes, Liev Schreiber. Cubby Barnes, Donnie Wahlberg. Miles Roberts, Evan Handler. Agent Kimber Welsh, Nancy Ticketin. Agent Jack Sickler, Michael Gaston. Agent Paul Rhodes, Kevin Neil McCready. Wallace, Paul Guilfoyle. Bob Stone, Alan Bernstein. David Torres, Jose Zuniga. Jackie Brown, Dan Hedaya. Fatima, Ireda Polanco. Roberto, John Ortiz. Man at Party, Mike Hodge. Mayor Baresi, Paul Gear. Woman at Party, Louisa Marie. Guest at Party, Edward Francis Joseph. Reporter Guest, A.J. Benza. Nelson, Peter Anthony Tambakis. Doorman, Tony Hoti. Agent Sam, Daniel May Wong. Agent Dewey, John Short. Technician, Ed Jupp. NYPD SWAT, Stephen Oates. FBI SWAT Leader, Gene Harrison. FBI SWAT Team, Mick O'Rourke, Henry Kingy Jr., Roy Farfel. FBI SWAT Sniper, Lex D. Geddings. News Reporter, Donna Hanover. News Anchors, Rosanna Scotto, Tony Potts. Newshound, John Spike Finity. Don Campbell, Todd Halliwell. Cops, Joe Pacino. Carl S. Redding, James Georgiades. Christian Malin, David Vadim. Reporters, Addie O'Donnell, Judy Hudson, Mitzi Pratt, Lynn Redding. Bank Manager, Michael Countryman. Agent Levin, Chris Lapata. Agent Lambert, John Richard Hartman. FBI Agent, Anton Evangelista. Detective 1, Richard Price. Liquor Store Cop, Joe Badaluccio Jr. Liquor Store Perp, Del Mara. Detective at Kidnap House, Tommy Allen. Paramedic, John Dorish. Detective Doran, Vincent Burns. The Crotations, Brad Brewer, Darren Brown, Marvin Brown, Glenn King. Science Fair Coordinator, Cheryl Howard. Science Fair Judge, James Ritz. woman at science fair, Anna Marie Vida. Mayor's wife, Joan D. Lowry. Radio man, Craig Castaldo. Women on street, Teodorino Bello, J.J. Chabak, Laurie Tan Chin. Men on street, Carl Don, Nathaniel Freeman, Phil Paralisi, Rafael Osorio. Newscasters, Leslie Devlin, Lewis Dudley. ND cops, John Brian Rogers, Jeffrey Kaufman. Undercover cop, Mark Smith. Detective, Jim Whalen. Kate's friend, Kim Snyder. Store owner, Panika Oppendron. Stunt coordinator, Jeff Ward. Stunts, Mick Rogers, Paul Bacossi, Andy Duppin, Steve Mack, Manny Severio, Elliot Santiago, Cheryl Wheeler, Bill Anagnos, Jim Lovelett, Scott Wilder, Peter Epstein, Greg Smertz, David Lomax, Don Pickard, Keith Leon Williams, Norman Douglas, Joffrey Brown, Tim Gallin, Janet Paparazzo, helicopter pilots, Robert Bobby Z. Zajonk, Al Cerullo, Alan Perwin, Joseph R. Brigham.